Okay, we're on Kuf Chaf Gimel. We ended off yesterday saying that if you want to fight a war, in any war, you have to know who your enemy is. You have to understand your enemy. You have to know your strengths and weaknesses. So too, in the Mohammed Sayyata, person needs to know his strengths and weaknesses. That's where we ended off, correct? Anybody out there?
There's never been a war like this before.
Well, that we've said many times. Okay, let's start. Vayisa milchoma sheta'anu le'il im lo nitnamesh b'kliya milchoma shenosan lanu Avram Avinu. Once again, we're going back to Avram Avinu. Oh, yeah? So I'm going to have two cups of coffee. All right. It's also good. Okay, I have to make up for yesterday. We're going back to Avram Avinu. What did we say Avram Avinu discovered? Avram Avinu discovered Bishvili Nivra Olam. Call that Kosher Gaiva. And he also discovered the intrinsic relationship that with Hashem based on Ahava. Avram Avinu, Hayekumayne Yochur Uboided B'Milchomosay. We also mentioned that this Milchoma that we're going through today is a Milchomas Hayochid. It's not a Milchoma against the Klal, it's a Milchoma against Kol Yochid V'Yochid. Welcome back. And therefore, the Avoider is different. Ah! Kiven shiyagi la koras hayemes ki bishvili nevra ilam da'ainu shakoras bochu tzarichoti kvi yochol vani yoichel anik lo nitchesed imoy. Since he arrived at the hakara of bishvili nevra ilam, therefore hakoras bochu needs me kvi yochol, and I can give and mitchesed im hakoras bochu mikoyach meskonas elu ve'oimed b'kol hanisyoinos. He was able to withstand all his nisyoinos. Shareba, sorry, Nisoinus, Nisnos Avram Avinu, Va'omod Bakulam. Avram Avinu went through 10 tests, as we know, and he stood with all of them. He withstood all of them, and we're going to go through the same 10 tests, and we're going to have to try and withstand all of them, and you're only going to be able to do it. B'koyach shel Avram Avinu. That's what we're saying here. Okay? Nothing new. Up to now, we've said absolutely nothing new. Correct? Heard anything new yet? No. Okay. Hanisoyin toichef es amisol maka bo umapil chololim rabim. Droves are taking the blow and falling. Neshomas rabois oilois ala moked ha inquisitia shel tabut marav midayom biyoimoy. Many neshomas are going up on the the platform of the Inquisitia of Western culture on a day-to-day basis. Haral haruchani, the spiritual poison, hamufaza b'kol mokum that spreads everywhere. Ma'im libloya es nishmosenu la'avda b'shol tachtis, threatens to swallow our neshamas and to destroy us totally. Hashor haruchni, so that holocaust, that spiritual holocaust you mentioned the other day, mitracheshes leneged einenu. It's a good thing that's happening on the 9th, 10th, 11th of Tavis. Anyone understands what Asara B'Tavis was, understands the Ma'od Matim to be learning about Western culture today. Kol machshev beisi alul lahafuch letai gazim umesrafois ruchnias the Nishmas Yisrael. If you want to be offended by this line, you're welcome to be. A certain rabbi told me that Israel Zatzal will never speak in Yishul again because of this line. Listen carefully. Any computer in your house could be, we're not saying it is, but it could be turned into a gas chamber or a furnace that destroys Nishmas Yisrael. Not so long ago, they used gas chambers and ovens to destroy Gufos Yisrael, and it destroyed the neshamas. Today they have another gas chamber that destroys neshamas. He was offended, this rabbi, about that line. How can you call the internet, compare it to what Hitler Machshmoy did? Ein afechet sheyechel azolanu no one can help you. What's Hashem doing us? What are you supposed to do? Ain't you supposed to guard the pure neshamas, yours, your families? What are you supposed to do? Good question, no? If it's not a question, you're not aware of the problem. If you're not aware of the problem, that might be good news, it might be bad news. I don't know, it depends on your situation. As we said, this is V'yasa Yaakov Levodo. You've got to work this out for yourself. His approach, I'm not saying, and he never said this is the only approach, it's his approach, is to walk in the path of Avraham Avinu like he did in his time. First of all, to get in touch with this sugya called Tzara Shchina, whatever that means. We have to start understanding and getting in touch with what it means, Tzara Shchina, because we know there is such a thing, because the Torah doesn't lie. The Torah tells us it's a thing called Tzara Shchina. However, out the door, that might sound to us. Adam Lach Shrev Oides Goydel Atzah She Groim Lavi Sheva Shemayim. This Avinu Shebashamayim, who loves me, who cares for me, who only wants what's good for me. How much pain it causes him. When I listen to my Yetzer Hara. When I walk in the path of Kol HaOlam, I go with the flow. Whatever that means. We somehow cause tzar to the Shechina Kedoshim. We don't know what the Shechina is. We don't know what the tzar to the Shechina means. But we're told there is such a thing. So we have to start learning the sugya. When you don't fulfill your challenge, he's unable to do what he wants to do. That somehow causes pain. But I said, I don't know what Tzara Shchina means. I don't know. We have to learn the sugya, but we know there is such a thing. We have to go and learn it and understand it. Nochinami. Avraham Avinu understood it. And somehow he transferred that knowledge to us, and we don't have it. So we have to learn it. Like we just said, there's a new milchama, we need new tools. We have to go learn the tools. Nochinami. Yo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to have challenges. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us Tzar Nitzchi. The only way he can give us Tzar Nitzchi, which will be perfect Tzar, is if we earn it. So he gave us challenges to enable us to earn it. If we don't earn it, we're preventing him, Kaviyachol, from doing what he wanted to do. That's why Bishvili Nevroilam. Who was the world created for? For Hashem, to give me Tzar. And if we don't give him scha, somehow, if we don't give him the opportunity to give us the scha, whatever that means, somehow that causes him tzar. Good. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Kaviyachol, is a melech who, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kol olam pol negdoi. What kind of a king is Hashem if the whole world's against him? Denies him, against him. The whole world wants to destroy his beloved children. And I can, once again, we have to just, the words don't go in yet. We have to hear the words. And I can stop HaKadosh Baruch from that tzar, and I can take him out of his prison, al yedei kach she'avor es ritzoini. Im law says what? You wouldn't do it? If you could do that, you do what Hashem wants, not what you want. It's not worth it, so why wouldn't you do it? We have the ability to have a relationship with Hashem, to love him, to get from him all the spiritual pleasures in the world, infinite spiritual pleasures, embrace in the embrace of Hashem Kaviyachovim kind and Icha Kolzois. Mali ki achebek ashpochois vatanafis nishmosi berefish vuzamasoilo. Why would I give up that to go wallow in the dirt of what's offered to me by the street out there? Ani ben melech, I'm the king's son. I could be living in the palace with infinite pleasures and tanugim. Why would I go roll in the dirt outside, which is now inside? Rak, I'm asking the question myself. Huh?
Now inside.
The dirt that was outside is now inside. We have it in our homes.
That's now, sorry.
Yeah. I just added that in because I have to make up for the lost time here. This is a bit outdated, although it's pretty visionary. Rak kach noichel laharim es roshenim alamayim azeidoinim ashoiftim v'shetzef ketzef es kola oilom. It's only way I can lift my head above these enormous waves that are flooding the world. Rak kach noichel lelechet b'derech Hashem lenatzil mipigei olam azeh. It's the only way you can walk in the ways of Hashem and avoid the dangers of this particular tekufa that we're living for. Okay? Yeah, but let's see. I'm going to have some coffee because I have to make up for yesterday. But while I'm doing that, you guys think about how you want to. Yeah, but.
He asked me a question. The question is, how can we do this? You could do this because it looks appealing, even though we know it's not.
The dirt, the mud, looks appealing. And the whole, like, you know, goal of the world, it's kind of like in the back of my mind, like, it's not real. It's not like in front of us, it's not tangible. Is it not perhaps? Again, this is personal. That the pleasure that we get out there, we think we're going to get up there, is more than the pleasure we get in the Ruchnias. I'll tell you why I'm asking the question. We know that Torah is a tavlin kenegad Yetzer Hara. Yeah? Rabbi Elia Lopian says that's only when the Torah is more enjoyable than what the Yetzer Hara is offering.
Oh, the Torah is more
if what the Yetzer Hara is offering you is more pleasurable than a shtickle mishle, then instead of opening up a mishle, you're going to watch something else.
Of course.
Oh, that's where the problem is.
That's where the problem
is. How is it that my goof is getting the pleasure that it desires and my nesham is not being listened to? That's the question you have to answer.
You can answer
the
that.
Pleasure. You have to answer that. The goof, I sit equally posed between the goof and the nesham. I'm not a goof and I'm not a nesham. Yeah, I'm me. I happen to have a goof and happen to have an neshama. And there's a conflict between those two machines. Mm-hmm. Right? There's the goof that wants what he wants and the neshama wants what he wants. Yeah? Why do I give the goof what he wants whenever he wants it? And the neshama kind of has to be a second-class citizen. It sounds a little bit ridiculous when you say it like that. Correct?
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. It's not that what the Yetzer is offering me is more pleasurable than what the Yetzer Tov is offering me. It's just I'm listening to my goof and not to my neshama. If I was listening to my neshama and I would go after what the neshama wants, the neshama would have a great time, be very pleasurable. The thing is my goof somehow always takes preference over the neshama. That's what's happening when you make that decision.
And if you listen to your neshama, doesn't that also pleasure the goof as well?
Maybe it will. And ultimately, it does, yeah, but it doesn't always. Doesn't always. I wouldn't rely on that right now, not in the beginning stages, not in the apprentice mode that we're in. Maybe for the masters and the guys in Kitta Bet. But for us guys in Kitta Aleph, I don't know if that'll help. I don't know if that's going to help you.
I feel like we answered this question.
We answered it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no place for Schairainus then.
There's no place for
Schair. If you're constantly going with your Ruchni thing, then why should I get Schair?
What do you mean? I'm having a Nishoyin every day and I'm winning the battle and I'm choosing my Neshama over my goof.
Yeah, but it's easy to win that battle.
If that's the drive.
One second. Whoa. Let's just get Sadia. We're talking very Klalina. He's getting more specific. In the area where I have Bechira, you have a Nishoyin. If you have Bechira, you have no Bechira. We're not talking about.
Of course.
We're not talking about where you have no Bechira. No matter where you have, and even where you have no Bechira, you may want to start working on that area. that might be the next place you want to go to. But let's say in an area where you have Bechira, that's what we're talking about. If you don't have Bechira, it's not an Nisoyin. If I come to you and ask you to do something that's impossibly difficult, you can't do it. It's not an Nisoyin, I'm just setting up for failure. You take a six-year-old and you give him a complex calculus problem to solve. That's not a test. You just failed the kid, that's all, because you know he can't do it. If I ask you to jump up onto the Ezra's Noshi, so I've just told you, you're not going to succeed in what I've asked you to do. There's not a test, there's not a strain in that. I'll ask you to do something you can't do, then I'm just making you fail. There's not a test. The test is you can fail, you can succeed. And it's equally poised. Doesn't mean the drives are equal, by the way. That's what Desta says, Mefurish. It doesn't mean the drives are equal. You can have a strong drive here and a weaker drive there, and you can slap a Bechira. I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Take that as a given. But Avada, in the area of Bechira, you have an Isayin. So you choose what? You choose the goof over the neshama. Sometimes you're going to. That's why they're called Shuma. That's why they're called Yom Kippur. Because wired into the system is you're going to make mistakes along the way, for sure. But we're trying to not make as many mistakes as we're making. We're trying to get tools that will help us be more matzliach. How come other people are able to get 90%? I'm only getting 20%. I don't know. But maybe Avraham Avinu, we could go learn from him. Let's see what he used in order to fight this war. Because since him, no one's really had to ever struggle with this battle again before. So we want to learn tools how to deal with the struggle. I'm just asking Baruch's question. What the goof wants, and if we focus on the goof, then it's much more pleasant. Let's just go a little bit deeper here. Come on. I think Ted spoke about it once before, yeah, but it's a well-known Rav Dessler. A person has a desire for a cigarette. He also has a desire to live. You see, those are conflicting desires. Those are conflicting desires. Cigarette, death. No cigarette, love. Yeah? So how does a cigarette win every time? Because the draft for a cigarette is stronger than the draft to live? I'll prove to you that it's not. You all know that the draft to live is stronger than the draft for a cigarette. Correct?
Right.
Correct? Because if someone held a gun against you and said, if you have that cigarette, I'm going to blow your brains out, you won't have the cigarette. Because you want to live. And yet the desire, the guy coughs himself to sleep at night, coughing blood, coughs himself to sleep at night, swears a million oaths that he's never going to touch another cigarette. And the first thing he does in the morning is he has a cigarette. How did that happen? The conflicting desires. How does the weak desire always overwhelm the strong desire? Good question, no? You translate this out of cigarette into whatever your drug of choice is. Okay? Says Rav Dessler, you can only have one rotzen at a time. There's no conflicting rotzen here. There's one seat, and there's place for one driver. That's called the rotzen. You can't have two rotzenes at the same time. The battle begins before. Who's going to sit in the driver's seat? The rotzen for the cigarette or the rotzen to live? If you get the rotzen to live into the driver's seat, the rotzen for the cigarette will go away. Which is exactly what happens when a guy holds a gun against you and says, cigarettes, I'm going to blow your brains out. And you know he means it. You don't know about it. You don't know he means it. You mean he's just done it to five other people. You saw this guy blow five people's brains out in some Al-Qaeda cave somewhere in Afghanistan. And you're wearing an orange overall. And this guy says, if you touch that cigarette, I'm going to blow your brains out. And he's just done it to five other people. So there's no ways you're going to touch the cigarette. Why not? Because the rotzen to live just sat in the driver's seat. There's no conflicting rotzenus here. The desire to live was so obvious that he got into the driver's seat. So now there's not even a test for the cigarette. Correct? But when I'm facing the cigarette and there's no guy with a machine gun there, live, die, live, die, live, the desire for the cigarette overwhelms. When I go to sleep coughing myself to death at night, the desire to live is very strong and he sits in the seat. That's why a strong desire can be overpowered by a weak desire. Because they're not competing for the thing, they're competing to get into the driver's seat. What will help, what we're learning now, what will help is to get the correct rotzon into the place. That's really what it's about. The ikar avoider of this, by the way, is tefillah. The ikar avoider of how to get the right rotzon into the driver's seat is an avoider called tefillah. You have to look in the sforim that talk about that. That's where tefillah is. That's how you create tzeinus, through tefillah. Okay. That's not a subject now. I was just trying to highlight for you what the battle looks like. Push the button, don't push the button. You know exactly what it looks like when you push the button because you've done it before, or whatever else it is. Light the cigarette, push the button. No, I'm not sure what the problem is. You always afterwards say, Beloy Shavalon. Always. Every time. No, yet ever did an avar and said, well, I'm so glad I did it. You schmuck. You're going to do tshuva? Me, licharota. I'm so happy that I blew 3 hours of my life watching whatever it was. You never come away feeling spiritually, physically satisfied by going off the Yetzirah. Never. So how can we keep doing it? That's the question you have to ask. We want to try and upgrade a little bit. We're not talking about changing to now become a guy who hardly ever does it, hardly ever does it. We're trying to just become aware of our real. Where am I holding? What am I doing? And accept that as reality. We're just not worrying about how to change it. But what he's suggesting is he's recognizing who you really are and getting in touch with that neshama side, or getting in touch with that Ben Melech side of you will help you to overcome the challenges. If you're a garnish and you're a nobody and what you do makes no difference anyway, how are you going to fight this Yetzirah? Because the goy is so low anyway and going after his time Nubim is not so geschmack anyway. No, because it's geschmack. Not enough to just watch the World Series. You have to listen to the commentaries for 6 months before and listen to the discussions about why he didn't do it for 5 days afterwards. And it's geschmack. It's geschmack. But when you come away afterwards, you think about what you could have done with that time or whatever, you say to yourself, Lo Shavalanu, especially if you're sad losers. Poshut. Lo Shavalanu. So why do I keep doing it? You think I've learned. Why am I not learning? Maybe this is a solution. Start focusing on who you really are. If that's not your struggle, we're not talking about that. We're talking about where your struggle is.
Some people.
I don't know about some people. We're interested in me. This is about me. This is not again, I hate saying it, but it has to be repeated because it doesn't go in. This is not a social anthropology class. This is about me.
The World Series is cracking up.
Correct. Excellent.
What do you say?
If watching the World Series or opening Gemara, that's not a challenge for you. That's not a struggle for you at all.
Right.
It's just not even a discussion. So move on. Find out where your struggle really is. But that's not your. Then we're not discussing that. That's not your problem.
One could be wasting their time investing efforts into somewhere where they don't actually have.
Even worse, you could be having charata and being miserable and depressed over doing something or failing in an area that really isn't your issue.
Find out where it is. Find out where.
Find out where your bechir is, and then go to work. Of course.
And that'll move on to the next thing.
A kleptomaniac. What's a kleptomaniac?
A steal.
He goes into the Makolet and he steals. And he's beating himself to death because he stole. He's missing the plot. He's onus. He has to go find his real nisoyin. That's not a nisoyin for him anymore. It may very well become a nisoyin for him because he's ruining his life. And he may want to do something about that. Fine. So then he'll join some anti-addiction program and he'll work on it. When he accepts that he's out of control and accepts there's nothing he can do about it, maybe then he can start doing something about it. Until he's accepted that he can't do anything about it, he can't do anything about it. But those are extreme examples. You know, we're discussing the extreme examples of addiction or whatever. We're all addicts in some area. That's why Yom Kippur looks terribly familiar every year. Because we're addicts. We're not doing new things and therefore Yom Kippur looks refreshing to you. My Yom Kippur this year looked exactly like it did last year, the year before, because it's the same old stuff. When was the last time the Yetzirah come to you with a real new nice idea? Well, I never thought of that before. Sure, that's interesting. Let me think. It's usually the same old garbage, no? No, it's embarrassing, but that's the reality. Find out if this is your challenge or not, or is the Yetzirah wasting your time and your depression, your miserableness, and your feeling low in this area? What we've been suggesting all along is that the real problem is in the Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim, not in the Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs. That's what we've been suggesting since day one. You put your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu into perspective, then the Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs will fall into place almost automatically. What's missing from us is not the Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs, it's the Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim that's missing. That's where our struggle is. If that's in place, it's much easier to deal with the issues. That's what he's suggesting. Okay, to be continued.